Wilson and on the free Civic Media app. 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Currently at 64 degrees.
Welcome, Wisconsin, to WIRI's Playmakers. Let's get it going. Hope you all are having a great Monday afternoon out there. James behind the mic, thanks so much for joining us. Want to send a big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, helping us put this show together, get to hang out with you for an hour a couple times a week, and of course, take your calls. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. We want to talk with you. We want to hang out with you, everybody. Our sports director, Michael Comer, joining us. We're also going to be joined at about 4:30 with the fourth period. We will have GM head coach Paul joining us, talking some River Kings. Looking forward to that. Got a couple of places we're going to get to today. We're going to talk some pro football. We'll, of course, get into River Kings. I got a great story of the show we're going to get into. And we'll talk some baseball. Of course, we'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. Call up and join the conversation. You can change the conversation. That's really the way the phrase should be, Michael. For this show, call up and change the conversation if you'd like.
Oh, sure, of course.
But I do have a couple places I want to start, and I do want to begin with college football.
Start at the beginning.
For
those, a big bang.
For those that did not see, that's really actually. You know what? Let's start there. No. For those that didn't see, Vanderbilt beat LSU this weekend, and pretty handedly for the most part.
There was one very mad coach.
If you are brand new to college football, this is brand new to all of us. There is no generation, no matter how old or how young you are living out there, that is used to Vanderbilt football being relevant, let alone good. And they were favored.
Indiana. That them too.
Indiana too, absolutely, yes. And we'll get to them. But when it comes to Vanderbilt and LSU, this game right here, I got to watch most of this game, and it was telling that there is so much more money and talent in Baton Rouge, so much more than there ever is going to be in Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Yet Vanderbilt, with a good coach, really good coach, and a couple of nice moves through the transfer portal, they have become relevant and so much fun over the last two seasons to see, especially in the SEC, which can be pretty top-heavy at times. Not so much the last couple of years, Vanderbilt beating Alabama last year, this year beating LSU. Yeah. Now, this is new to a lot of us, and it's got to be new to the Vanderbilt fan base.
Oh, of course.
So Vanderbilt has two gigantic upsets in the last 2 years. Alabama last year, this year LSU, so far.
Yeah.
So far, Vanderbilt does not storm the field after beating LSU. Doesn't storm the field. Acts like we've been here before. This is, we beat LSU because we're supposed to. We knew we were going to beat LSU. This isn't a shock to us. So they do not storm the field. It is one of the cooler things I've seen this season in college football.
Didn't they storm the field last year against Alabama?
I think it was
utter chaos. I guess people got hurt. So I get it.
It might be a little bit of that, but it's so much also like just this idea of the whole student body, no conversation beforehand, just understanding, hey, we're going to act like we've been here before.
Yeah.
Where if LSU had beaten Vanderbilt in Baton Rouge, I don't know if they don't storm the field or not. That's hilarious to me, and I just wanted to credit Vanderbilt, the fan base, for that.
Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. There was one this weekend where a kid, he got clotheslined by the, because they now have push a button and the goalposts go down, right?
Yeah.
And a kid, he got clotheslined, and he didn't. When he got clotheslined, he fell flat on the turf, and then the thing fell on him. That they were lifting it so he could crawl out as he's gasping for air after getting neck chopped. I mean, that's
rough. Yeah, it's why I don't.
It's a great tradition, but it's a dangerous one. I mean, look what happened to Madison.
I don't know that if you are a major university, I don't think that you can have it. I think if you're a small school, I think you can do it, and I don't think you can ever do it again in basketball.
Rush on the court.
Yes, rush on the court. It's one of my favorite things about college sports. I love it, and I think it's of a forgotten time. There's too many people going to these games nowadays.
Yeah.
There's too much craziness.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that guy.
But here's the thing, though. If Wisconsin ever wins a Big Ten game again at Camp Randall, do you think they're going to rush the field?
No, I'm not.
I'm making that a joke. I don't know
the win that if Wisconsin were to beat Oregon, if Wisconsin were to have beaten Ohio State, I still don't think that they do. I don't know that. They
I
do.
Don't know.
It's
a good question.
And not because I only, and this is a little different, because I don't know if it takes, I think it would take a lot more than beating Ohio State for the Wisconsin fan base to get over on Luke Fickell, and more on that.
Yes.
I think that's a little bit different. Before I go to that, though, I did want to, as long as I'm handing out credit here and everything, I wanted to hand out some to James Franklin. Now, James Franklin showed up on College Game Day, and there's certainly, he's got to know if not his agents already told them, hey, none of the heavy stuff. We're not getting into the heavy questions here or anything like that. So I think that's noteworthy. And I also think that this is a guy who's, you know, now his job is to sell himself. This was part of his resume.
Yeah. I mean, you could see it in his eyes. He's still pretty upset.
But he didn't have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have to do this. And you do not see this very often. I do credit him for going on there. He did take some hard questions. Yeah. Although, get you somebody that loves you like Nick Saban loves any former coach.
Yep.
Like, my God, that man will fall over for you 15 times just to, you know, always blame a university and never the coach. James Franklin, to his own words, fell short.
Yep.
I think that you let him hang on that. I think you let him, you know, it says something that this man was so accomplished, and he's going to probably have a pick of a couple of jobs, not to say the pick of the litter, but a pick of a couple of jobs coming up here in the offseason. All that said, this still falls on James Franklin. James Franklin couldn't win the big games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I appreciate that he could have taken a little bit more responsibility, but he took some.
Yep.
I don't think that anybody has ever been in a job interview or done a job interview and ever felt better about somebody that talked bad about their last employer. It's like one of the first things we learn about doing a job, you know, applying for a job or in a job interview. You don't complain about your former job. I didn't get a lot of that, but I felt a little of it, and I didn't think that was going to help him any.
No.
But I do credit him for going on there. And Reese Davis is fantastic, so good in these situations where he can ask, he'll get in a hard question. He's going to at least get one in. And I appreciate that about him. I thought that was really cool to see this weekend. I did not expect that. That blew me away. I did not expect to see him on there. Now to the Badgers. GM or athletic director, whatever you want to call him, Chris McIntosh. They're all GMs now.
He's catching a lot of flack now, too.
Athletic director is just another word for, you're the GM of this sports team. That's what you are.
Yes, sir.
So Chris McIntosh came out, wrote a letter this morning to Badger fans telling them that the team is going to make a huge commitment financially to the team. Going forward, and that they are going to that they fell short of our standards, but they are going to see it through with Coach Fickell. It does look like, at least for the time being, Wisconsin plays Oregon this weekend. That could be completely different come next Monday.
Yeah.
Especially considering the buyouts that we've seen lately, Coach Fickell's is not nearly as bad as some of these other ones.
$56 million is a big pill to swallow for Wisconsin.
I'm seeing $25 million some places. I'm seeing $56 million.
Yeah, see, I saw $56 million. It's all over whatever
place.
It is.
And it was same thing with James Franklin. People keep throwing around $50 million. It's a little bit less than that, but it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Yep.
If the man never wants to work again, he doesn't have to.
Set.
Generational wealth already.
Yep.
This is the thing, and this is where I'm putting all this together with Vanderbilt to Wisconsin, where it is such a crapshoot of what you do. And nobody was going over head over heels about Vanderbilt hiring their coach. That's a nice move for Vanderbilt. We're moving on. And next conversation. Wisconsin landed Luke Fickell. It was a conversation for weeks. It was the big dog they landed. They landed the big free agent. And he signed with a team that nobody saw coming. It was a big deal, and it meant a lot. And Luke Fickell had everything and momentum and everything going his direction. And this falls on Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
It somewhat falls on the athletic department and the board of directors and the trustees and the donors and all that, because they have not been putting money into the athletic department at Wisconsin. They, much like Clemson and some other schools you see around the country, Oklahoma State, you see around the country, no, we're not going to do that. No, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Yeah, that's yeah. You know what happens when you don't go with the times? You get run
yep.
over by them.
Yes, you do.
You get left in the past.
Yes, you do.
And you become Nebraska. You become one of these schools that is never going to probably be able to get back up.
You never say never. I mean, look at Vanderbilt.
Probably never go. That's why I say probably, because you're absolutely right. Coach Fickell, and I really worked hard on this over the weekend. I listened to a couple of different conversations, did my own little bit of reporting compared to his Cincinnati coaching staff and his coaching staff here. And I genuinely think that the big problems, all the things I mentioned there, but his assistant coaches, the first, really all of them, but really the first batch of assistant coaches he brings in, I don't know what he's thinking in that regard. And the fact that he wasn't able to, I don't believe, was able to bring over his own coaching staff from Cincinnati tells you a lot right there. And it's such a big deal on this. The next hire that Wisconsin makes, the next hire that your team makes, pay attention to those assistant coaches, because regardless of how great that big guy is, those assistants matter maybe more in some ways.
Right.
It was the beginning of the downfall of this, along with obviously trying to put an air raid offense into Wisconsin, which is like trying to turn a slingshot into a shotgun. It doesn't.
Ooh,
you know,
that'd be cool.
You could. It might be able to pull it off, but it's going to take a lot of work and take a lot more than 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some manufacturing. I don't. What Wisconsin got going forward, what they are looking at, is not easy to fix.
No.
But it is fixable. You would have never thought that Vanderbilt would be relevant. And you darn sure never thought you'd be going on Monday morning looking at the top 25 and seeing Indiana number two. Indiana number two.
And you know what? It's not even basketball. And they don't play Ohio State until the Big Ten title game. And they might not even play Ohio State.
I love watching that team. I love that coach. I admit I am a fellow Italian, but I cannot help myself. It's a fun team, and it can happen. If you now, it doesn't mean that it's as easy as on paper, as we've seen with Luke Fickell.
Yep.
But if you make the right moves, and I think if you work with the university, you work with the school, it can happen. Some people, and I don't think anybody counted them out for dead or anything like that, but I don't think that a lot of people were looking at Oklahoma like they were Texas.
No.
Look at what Oklahoma has done in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, well, look what they've got to come up in the next 5-6 weeks.
Sure. But. Absolutely. But regardless of what happens in the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're talking about Oklahoma football.
Again.
They are relevant. They've got a good coach. They've got a good coaching staff. They've got, it's not just this year that we're like, well, they got to win this year or it's all over.
Right. Jalen Hurts, I think it was after he left, there was Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts. And then after that, it fell off. And that's when Bob Stoops left and retired. He didn't get fired. He retired. And you just had a couple of years in there where you're like, what the heck are you doing with Brent Venables? Even though Brent Venables, very good coach, very good defensive mind. And now that they've got one of the better defenses in the country and their offense is coming around.
Yeah, it can happen. And the overall factor here is certainly getting it right, getting lucky, all of those things. But another factor comes in, too, that we don't like to talk about. But we have to start. If you haven't normalized it in your brain yet, you're going to have to. And it's money. And it's the answer, as Don Allmeyer says, as Tony Kornheiser quotes Don Allmeyer saying, the answers to all your questions end with money.
Yep.
And if you want your school to be relevant, you're going to have to put in money. And if you don't like it, then I don't know if you're
going
to like college football anymore. It's no different than if we're talking about the Brewers and the rough weekend that they had and the rough ending to their season. There's a lot of factors that come into that. There's a lot of things that we can mention. We can tear it apart. We can talk about coaching, talk about timing, talk about playing on the moment. Did they spend the money on players? The biggest story about the Brewers was not them winning. It was winning with what they had. That was the story. That should not be the story. Do you want to be a team that's, oh, we're happy to be here, or a team that you expect to be there? Because the difference of the Dodgers and the Brewers is paycheck. And if your team is not willing to spend money, you're going to end up, I'm sorry, Michael, like the Cardinals. You're going to end up like certain places that we almost, hey, I remember when they were relevant. Like, that's what happens to you. You've got to spend money. I don't like it. I grew up, one of my oldest sports memories is my papa being the most diehard baseball fan I've ever known in my life, loving his team, loving the Cubs, loving Ryan Sandberg, until all of a sudden Ryan Sandberg held out.
Mm-hmm.
And my papa heard Ryan Sandberg's got the biggest contract in Major League Baseball history, and he turned the radio off. He looks at me and he says, Jimmy, they should go out there with briefcases instead of mitts. He was done. He did not listen to another baseball game until the Cubs were in Game 7 of the World Series. He spent decades not listening to baseball, not paying attention, because the sport broke his heart.
Yep.
He didn't like the money part of it. Yeah, I can't do that. I don't have the willpower of that man. I don't have the strength of that man when it comes to this. I'm still all in on sports. I'm still crazy about this stuff because I refuse to let the money change me in my way I look at this. I am an adult. I can understand that it's a factor just as much as injuries, just as much as timing, just as much. Look, to me, it's in the same categories now. It's all in that. Well, did they spend the money? Oh, did they get injured a lot? Oh, it's another one of these factors that leads to you either winning or losing.
Right. And I mean, I'm going to piggyback on that a little bit back to Luke Fickell. I'm not making excuses for the man, but when he's on his third string quarterback and fourth string running back, that makes things really tough. And we've talked about next man up. I don't care. Your fourth string isn't anywhere near your first. There's a reason why he's fourth string.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why he'd be a first stringer compared to either one of us out there. So I'm not knocking on the kids by any means. And I'm not trying to make excuses because the problems are bigger than all the injuries, but the injuries certainly make it look a lot worse.
Yeah.
So jumping off of that one. Had a lot of conversations this weekend. I only saw the last three innings on Friday because I was at the River Kings game. Had a lot of conversations with Brewers fans. And I've got... you know how the friend chats go. You've got them. Not everybody's got them, but a lot of...
most people.
Pam, I'm sure, has got millions of them.
I'm sure of it.
But because who doesn't want to be friends with Pam?
Absolutely.
But the thing is, I've got one friend who will not talk to me. Now, our conversations go politics, hunting, farming, everything. We talk about everything. And we're always joking. And all season long, all baseball season long, it was, the Cardinals suck, the Cardinals stink, the Cardinals aren't good enough, but look at the Brewers, blah, 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 blah. And some of the things he said were a little nasty. But I'm like, just wait. Turnabout's fair game. And it was. And I let him have it. And nothing mean, not dragging anybody through the mud or nothing like that. But what I'm getting at with this is in the conversations, the first thing that gets brought up is the money. And I'm so back and forth on the money aspect of it because, yes, money does help. Buying players, getting players, buying the contracts, it does help. But is it everything? It helps, it's everything. And that's where we got into the conversations before he signed off still to this day. whatever, his problem, not mine. But it's... you can buy all the players in the world, and they're going to be good. But can they click at the time you need them to when it's crunch time?
Yeah.
Now, I'll go back in not even 10 years ago. Who was the only team that could knock off the Dodgers in the playoffs? St. Louis.
Yeah.
St. Louis, middle market, a little bit maybe below average payroll, below the middle line. Not smallest market by any means, but they were there. And they knocked off the unhittable Greinke and Kershaw. They beat them. Some other guys. Ryu was another one. St. Louis did it.
Yeah.
And you're doing that with a payroll that's significantly less. Why couldn't Milwaukee do it? Well, there's a lot of things. Guys got hurt. They blew up their bullpen too early in the play. Whatever. It's neither here nor there. But the one thing I did remember from 2018, the similarities were Milwaukee blew up their bullpen in that one too. Their starters, they only wanted like 1, 2, 3 innings. Then it was a bullpen game because their bullpen was so much better than the starters then.
Yeah.
And we unfortunately saw that again, and it went worse for Milwaukee. And the thing that got me with it in having these conversations was how fast it is just to blame the money.
Yeah,
and it's a little disappointing because there's got to be accountability there for the players too. I mean, where'd Yelich go? Where, you know?
Absolutely.
So the point that I'm really trying to make out of this is, for college football and for pro football, it doesn't necessarily apply, but for college football and baseball, because they're the two ones that really are coming down to money right now, because they wrangle that in with the NBA.
Neither have a salary cap.
Right. Exactly, and they wrangled it in with a NBA. Mm-hmm. So the big thing is, you've got to have the money. Yeah, yep, you do. But you've also got to have the luck, because there is luck with it. And you've got to be able to be cohesive. And there was something, and obviously in Wisconsin the problems are there, but with the Brewers there was something missing.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Things that you could have spent money on to fill. I'm not saying that money is the win-all, be-all. What I'm trying to say here is that just like you mentioned injuries. Oh, you mentioned Yelich not showing up. Maybe he gets cold. That is as much as a factor as not spending money.
Yes.
The fact that it comes down to that, the fact that it gets brought up or any of these things, we gotta normalize a little bit more here if you want to be a sports fan. Because to your point, Michael, if money was the big end-all, be-all, we'd be talking about the New York Mets in the World Series right
now.
We'd be talking about San Diego in the World Series right now or something like that. Now, obviously, the Dodgers are in there. The Dodgers are the second highest payroll. Yep. It's not saying that it isn't a factor, but that's my point, is that it is a factor and that it matters and that it isn't maybe all the win-all, be-all, but how many times in any major sport have you seen a team win that there was not some money behind? You got plenty of great stories. Oh, this team got all the way to the World Series. This team got all the way to the Super Bowl, but they didn't win it.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't win. Like, a story is great. A story is something you can tell your great-grandkids about. Give me a title. Give me something that I can hang on to here and spend the dang money. Because here's the thing about all of this. Every single sports franchise in every single sport has the money. They all got the money.
Oh, yeah, they do.
There is no poor sports franchise.
I agree.
There is no such thing as a mom-and-pop franchise of any of the four major sports, at least, we'll say. But you can even bring this into other leagues and other places. If you lower the bank roles and everything if we're looking at the Northwoods League or we're talking about the Premier League or whatever other leagues you want to talk about here and everything, if you adjust the standards, it again comes down to, hey, are you spending? Are you spending on this team? And if you don't like it, well, then you shouldn't have turned sports into a business. You shouldn't have charged tickets for games. You shouldn't have charged money for jerseys. Yep. Like, what are we doing here? Get over yourselves and get over the idea that you money is some evil thing. Money's not evil. People are evil. Yeah. Money doesn't have any feelings. Money is money.
Money's money.
It doesn't care what you do with it.
Money,
it
money, money,
really
money.
Care about it. Looking at the AP Top 25, I've looked at this 5 times today, Michael, and I still can't get over the top 10.
It's bonkers, ain't it?
You've got Ohio State at number 1, of course.
Indiana
at number 2, Texas A&M at number 3, Alabama at 4, Georgia at 5, Oregon at number 6, Georgia Tech at number 7, Miss at number 8. Miami doesn't slip that far, goes to 9, and at number 10, the Vanderbilt Commodores. My whole life, I've never seen anything like that. Like, not just in real life, but even in the NCAA football games that I played.
I
played about 100 dynasties probably in that, and I've never seen something like that.
Where did Notre Dame go? Where did Oklahoma fall?
Let me see here. BYU at 11, Notre Dame at 12, and Oklahoma at 13.
Well, you knew Alabama was going to weasel its way back up in there. You knew that as well as I did.
Yeah.
And you know Notre Dame's going to weasel its way back in there, too.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see. I think this weekend, the Rebels, they make a trip to Norman.
Yep.
Yep. I think that's 11 o'clock start.
That is.
That's gonna make some decisions there.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. Now, first off, this was Oklahoma's first win against South Carolina. That's a great stat. I thought that was a good one.
And you beat everybody else. You finally got to beat them.
Yeah, that's a pretty good victory too. And I mean, just against a quarterback that I think is pretty good. I don't know how good South Carolina is, but
yeah,
still a nice victory right there. And you're 100%. Right about Notre Dame. I will say that it is, for me, the only silver lining I could take from that is seeing the one fan base I don't like to see happy get their hopes up and then have them shattered. Because that's all that happened to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's not doing anything in the college football playoff.
No.
I will put my name on that.
You should.
And I'm not taking some big leap there by that.
No auto pen involved. You're actually signing.
I do think that, I will say Love is a great running back. I like that kid. He's got some moves on him.
Yeah, he does.
There's some great running backs in college football right now. Like, there's at least five.
I mean, everyone talked about how good Genty was, and he was good in college.
Good. Yeah.
And I haven't seen too much of him in the pros, but whatever. That's tough to see.
Yeah,
Oakland or Vegas or whoever the heck they are now.
Yeah.
But there's some impressive backs this year. There really is.
It's been fun. I just love the position. It's been fun to see. Michael and I got to talk a little NFL in a little bit, but first we got to get to the fourth period. We're talking River Kings with Coach Peckman.
Lots of questions there.
Right here on 105.5 WIRI.
Your brand has the power to hit harder than a Grand Slam champion. And Wicked Awesome Media is here to bring the heat. From custom pens and mugs to branded apparel and swag that serves up serious style, Wham! Delivers championship-level creativity that helps your business crush the competition. Swing by Quality Printing Plus on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids or visit whaminc.com. That's WAMINK.com. Wham! Helping brands smash their goals and win every match.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association at this station.
This is 105.5 WIRI.
In your darkest hour,
lies, 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 look into my eyes, eyes, eyes.
WIRI on your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Currently at 64 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Time for the fourth period. It is hockey season, people, and my heart has never been happier. Oh, I'm loving it. Regular season going in the NHL. The Premier League, of course, in action. We are here to talk hockey with our great friend, GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, with us right now. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, man.
Thanks for being here. I had a couple of things I wanted to get into with you and certainly go over the weekend's games and everything. But let's start there because I think it'll lead perfectly into where I wanted to go with stuff. So Friday night, the first home games of the season. It's got to be feel good to be on your home ice.
Yeah. It was not always nice to play home, but home opener, you know, a lot of new guys never experienced anything like that. So a lot of juice is flowing. Guys are excited and... And I think we took the energy to the ice, you could see it. So,
is that what you kind of sense, Michael, being up there?
I thought so too, but I thought there was maybe a little bit of nerves as well. I mean, of course there will be first home game, but
I was nervous, right?
Right, but I mean, Hudson jumped on you guys. I think they went 2-0 to start it. And then you scored 6 unanswered, but I'm sure that was a very fun conversation between the first and second periods. But you guys looked like a different team between those first and two and finished strong. Deacon played great in the pipes, and everybody played well, I thought, after you got those first 20 minutes out of the way.
Yeah, I think, the first goal was an unfortunate bounce.
Yeah, it was.
Off of our skate, right?
Yep.
And the second one was a hell of a shot. So now you just, you know, basically we just talked about calming down and just play our game and do what we do best and relax. And once you got that first one.
Yeah.
You know, I think just started snowballing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, once you guys got that first goal and then tied it up, I mean, I granted, six unanswered in that game, you had been pretty happy about the response. And that's what you always talk about is how you respond. And responded well.
Yeah.
Saturday night, a little bit of a different story, but still it really ends in a River King victory, 4 in a row for our Kings. 3-2 victory over Hudson. That game, a little tighter, especially going into that third period. What is the energy like coming out of the second, going into the third there for you? What is the conversations like with the team?
For us, it was just keep doing what we're doing, and it was putting pucks on net, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're averaging 20 shots a period, something's going to break, you know? And the goalie, you could see, was tired. Sometimes he couldn't get up, right? He was exhausted. The kid played a hell of a game. And I told the coach after the game, I said, listen, you got two very good goaltenders, right? And that'll go a long way for the future. For us, it was just about chipping away at the goalie. And once we got that one, and then Diamond gets the second one, right? And then obviously the third one, which turned out to be bigger than we hoped.
Mm-hmm.
With them scoring with about 7 seconds left.
Mm-hmm. That second game was kind of neat to see two guys answer. One for Hudson, one for Rapids. After getting their bells rung a little bit, I think that was Constantine. He went down with you guys had to kill off penalty. And I think that he scored that goal right after he went down, about like 2 seconds left on the power play. But then Diamond, James's buddy there, Noah Diamond, he took a hellacious hit.
Yeah.
And busted him open. And that's the second time I've ever had to see them break the Zamboni out in my time with the River Kings. And this was before your time here in town, Coach, of them break the Zamboni out, cleaning off that patch of ice to get the blood off of it, and then come back. But, you know, saying it on the air, you know, you see the blood, you see him grabbing his head, and he's a little woozy. I know he's a hockey player. I know he's tough. But there's got to be some protocol here. We got to make sure everything's okay. He was obviously able to come back okay and score the last two goals. So, I mean, two guys who get hurt come back in, and they both made the opposition pay. It was pretty neat to see that.
It's I mean, credit to him. He's a tough kid, right?
Yeah.
But there's also the fine line between stupidity and being smart, right? And taking care of it. So obviously talking with our trainer and making sure that he was good to go at some point, and then just me having a conversation with him. At some point, I was going to sit him down if I didn't like what I saw.
Yeah,
you know, just by his body language, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
He seemed to be okay.
We as fans, we get just riled up by that, seeing a hurt player go back out on the court and everything. Some of our oldest sports stories are like that and everything. But I don't know how many of us, because I have not seen this on a pro level by any means, but I do remember seeing this happen with my dad and the way his bench was. Because the arena was one way. His bench, the looks on their faces, I can still imagine. I can still see it. I can still see how they were. There was this locked in look that they had that wasn't there before. Right. What it means to the players when they see a Noah go back out there, any injured player come back out after being hurt. I imagine that that's got to be, I don't know, that's something you can coach. I don't know that's something that you could really, there's any speech that you can give that really rile a team like that does.
Right. No, it's, you hope that everybody is, you know, you talk about family, right? And you talk about pulling the rope in the same direction, right? And you hope that they get it when they see their captain, their leader go down and then get up and then respond and everybody follows suit, right? And all right, well, you know, we got to pick it up for him and that kind of thing. And hopefully that, you know, that pushed us over the edge. So,
yeah,
it's good to see. It was a good response by our players.
Kings are at number two, sitting in the number two slot in the North League right now, right behind Minnesota, both teams with 8 wins. When you look at this team in the 4-game winning streak, getting to know you a bit over the years, Coach, I know that we could easily spend the next 5-10 minutes talking about the positives and everything. I'm more curious of where your brain goes right away of, okay, these things are going good, but I don't like what this is doing, or I want to improve on this, or we got lucky here, whatever it might be. Where do you see where you and your coaching staff are really going to be putting in some work this week, or you really want to improve on?
Well, I think it's in our D zone. I think we still have to get better. We still have guys that are drifting and not being where they need to be, or being responsible with the puck in our zone. And when I say our zone, on our half of the red line, right? Not just in the D zone, but making certain plays that are still the not the smartest plays that can cost and put us in a bad situation. But I think that, and I like to see our power play be more productive. I know we had a good start early, but now as you start playing some of the better teams, we're not being as productive. So I don't think we shoot the puck enough, to be honest with you. And I've had many conversations with the three guys up top, which is Baldu, Jack Shoy, and Allstrand. All of them can shoot the puck. None of them do. Right? So that's my conversation is, you know, we got to shoot more. And you might have 60 shots, some of them more quality than others. Most of those shots are not getting through, or they're not high percentage shots. We're not getting the rebounds, or we're not getting the guys in front, so they're killing plays, and they kill the power play when a goalie just grabs it and they get fresh players out, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. So we're not being smart with the puck and creating more opportunities.
I think this is one of the things I love about hockey that has brought me to it my whole life and everything, but it's also got to be one of the more difficult things, I would think, in, I don't know about coaching, but even in just trying to plan for in a game. Hockey's one of the few sports where you'll take a shot knowing that it's not good, they don't have a chance. You just want to get the puck down there in a ricochet and hope somebody can knock it in, something like that.
Yep.
You don't do that in basketball. You don't do that in baseball. You don't do that in other sports. Maybe you want to advance the runners a little bit in baseball, so little like that, but not like this, where you don't get an out. You don't have a ding against you. You just got that puck in right where you wanted in that zone. Trying to get that more aggressive, trying to get your players to shoot the puck more, any of these things, how do you instill that?
We draw it out. You know, this is where when a play comes from one side, right, and it goes out, and we talk about from going low to high, back down to low, because you want to stretch them on the defensive side to create openings, right? So when you go low to high and we're digging a puck in the corner, we go back to the D, walk, get off the wall, get to the center or as close as you can. But when you shoot the puck and you're all coming from the left side, you don't shoot it to the right, there's nobody there. right? So you got to shoot it back where you came from, because that's where the guys are coming to crash the net, right? So now it's about guys getting sticks out, getting in front of the goalie, and if it hits you, it hits you. It goes in, it goes in. Nobody cares how, right? Just get in. And so it's just about forcing the defenseman. Just get it there. It doesn't have to be hard. It's got to be quick, right? Just get it there so the goalie doesn't get set. And that's what we talk about, you know, and we have drills, what we'll do, we have guys cutting in front of them, and they got to shoot it by them or whatever, just so that they practice, because we get a lot of shots blocked, too, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
We could have 60, 70 shots, you know.
You almost did this weekend. Yeah. I was going to ask Coach, I know, what I'm kind of piggybacking on what James was saying, I think you got to be very thrilled with how the penalty kill played this weekend, but I think that's the other side of is where one thing you're going to work on is taking the penalties. Because fortunately, it didn't impact you guys too much negatively. But it's a situation where you had to kill off how many 5-on-3s, even though it was, you know, maybe 20 seconds each time. But you were sometimes down 5-on-4 for 4 minutes because bang, bang, bang.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we got to talk about being disciplined, right? I mean, it's just there's a time and place, and that comes with the maturity. Because you look at some of the guys that were getting it, the younger guys, right? They're getting scruffles. They think they're Rocky Balboa, right? And next, you know, they don't understand why they got a penalty.
Right.
So it's being smart and not putting us in bad positions, and we got to continue to work on our PK. We're still not up to par.
Right.
And our alignment and reading and anticipating and that second guy. You know, you can have a guy stand there by the goaltender, right? He's not really doing anything, but he should be forcing to one side, which means the second guy's got to anticipate and jump.
Yep.
If he's not there, okay, then it's an easy out, and that guy's flying down the ice, and now I got two guys stuck down there.
Yep.
Right? Now it's a 4-on-2. Right.
When it comes to all those things that are going to be worked on, I'm sure, this week, but when it comes to things that you're feeling good about, things that are positives for this team that maybe you didn't see coming or maybe are just a you know, reinforcing what you were hoping for a couple of months ago before the season started and everything, what has impressed you so far this season about your team?
I think the veterans, the guys that have stepped up, like the Diamonds and the Austrians and the Ilyans and Baldukes and Shaws and... It's the second-year guys that really didn't have a top role last year that have stepped into that top role and have accelerated, right? So, guys, all those guys that I just mentioned are horses for us. And I mean, look, we don't even have four lines.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's tough. So now you're asking these guys to do a lot.
Yep.
Right? So now you can look at it. Listen, you're getting opportunity. To play more, that's what you want,
right?
But you got to be productive. And now you got to understand all situations. You know, sometimes guys are just power play guys, and some guys are just PK guys. But now you got these guys playing in all different roles. And guys like Ilyan and Jack Choi, they're a very good penalty killing unit. I mean, they're big, they're rangy, right?
Yep.
They're long, and they can get in ways, and they know how to skate and score, right? So that becomes a threat. That's something that I paired those two guys together, and then you got Diamond and Ruffalo, who are very fast and quick, right? So you start getting your pairs together, and I want to see combinations and see who's smart, who's not, and that kind of thing, and capitalize on those kind of turnovers.
Hockey's such an endurance marathon, and then when you were working with three over lines instead of four, it's really asking a lot. But I think the word that you use there, opportunity, is such a perfect word for these kids, and especially with this whole league, what all this is about. That's a really it's you know, that's an advantage I think in some ways in that regard. When it comes to this weekend, we got the Northwoods Express coming to town Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock puck drop right here. 105.5 WIRI. Join Michael Comer for these games. If you can't get to the rec center, of course, if you can get to the rec center, get there. Fill the arena, everybody. We want to make sure that Hudson and Northwest and all these teams in our division know what home ice advantage is and what we have over the other teams in this division. With the Northwest Express, lost their last game, 4-3 in their last 10. Fifth in the division, not playing bad. And from what I was seeing last weekend, looked like they were starting to figure some things out.
Now, let me tell you something. This is a team. This is a good test. Right? This will be a test. They are very good. I don't know how they're 4-3, to be honest with you. The Ox are playing very well. Squatch are still undefeated, right? So it's going to be a dogfight, and right down to the end, and you're going to have to win big games like this, and it's good that we see it early, You know, I mean, listen, we're at the quarter of the season. It's already done.
Yeah.
Just like that, right? Mm-hmm. So, and now you start playing the Northwest and the Oxes and Steele County, we haven't even played yet, and they're doing well. So, yeah, this is going to be a good test. They're big, heavy. They got a lot of vets back.
Yeah, Parker, Preston Lundbaum.
Lundbaum, yep. And then you got Underhill on defense, Cochran on defense, yep. Freshwater in the net. Right? I mean, they got some guys mm-hmm. that can really hurt you. And again, they got a little more depth than we do mm-hmm. right now. So that's something that I'm constantly trying to find.
I like the versatility our team has, especially when it comes to adapting to the game and other teams and everything. I like our chances this week, and I always like our chances. I'm a homer. What am I talking about? looking forward to this weekend's games and looking forward to hanging out and talking again real soon, Coach. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Find out more about your River Kings. Follow them as they build hockey up and down the river at RiverKingsHockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media. Share their posts on your page so that others can see it. And be sure to get to the Southwick County Rec Center for every home game you can. Let us show them what home ice advantage truly is. If you can't make it to the rink, we got you covered right here. Every home game of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings right here at 105.5 WIRI all season long. This weekend, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock puck drop. Kings hosting the Northwoods Express. Join Michael and Seth for those games. Coach, thanks again for the time.
Thank you.
Michael and I will be back with more show.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug to driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
What's the spookiest country song? Help Country Favorites and Classics 105.5 WIRI find out. Each day starting Monday, October 20th, go to WIRI.fm to see which two songs are going head-to-head. Vote for the one you think is the spookiest, and the winner will go on to the next round. On Halloween, we'll reveal the spookiest country song ever. So steady your nerves and go to WIRI.fm starting October 20th and vote for the spookiest country song of all time.
In August, Patty and Eddie of Cabins on the Lake in Friendship lost their home in a devastating fire. These two people are always the first to help others, and now it's our turn to help them. Join us for a fun benefit Saturday, November 1st from noon until 5 p.m. at Connell's Cedar Shack in Adams. Music, food, live and silent auctions with awesome prizes, 50-50s, and lots of fun. All proceeds go to assist Patty and Eddie rebuild. Join us November 1st at Connell's Cedar Shack, just south of Adams on Highway 13. You'll have a good time for a great cause.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Currently at 64 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Hope you all are having a great afternoon out there. Michael and I are going to take you to the top of the hour. Laura coming in with some great music for you in a little bit. Be listening for that. We'll be back at this on Wednesday, everybody. No show Friday, but we will be back on Wednesday. So bring your sports takes and feelings to the show on Wednesday. We're looking forward to hanging out with you. Gigantic thank you to our great friend, Coach and GM, Coach Peckman, joining us.
I love visiting
there.
With him.
Man,
love
I talked to that guy for days. I really appreciate the conversation from him. him. That was a lot of fun, and we kept him a little longer than usual. So appreciate that, Coach. Michael, I didn't really have a lot of plans for the show today. I brought up what I wanted to and everything, and it's not usually like me. I'm a bit of a planner, but when it comes to this afternoon, it changed. My radio was stuck. I don't know what was happening. I need to get a new radio in my Jeep, but it wasn't really moving a lot.
All you heard was Radio Gaga, wasn't it?
It's all of it, all of it. Which, you know, it's a good Queen song.
It is. It is.
But I happened to hear a little bit of a couple of different people over the weekend, basically all the big sports reporters in the state.
Yep.
And one of them in particular I heard, and I don't know if you'd call him a reporter, but certainly a voice, an important one in the state, in Bill Michaels.
Yep.
I don't hear Bill Michaels very often. I couldn't, nothing against Bill, I just don't listen to a lot of radio. It has nothing to do with him.
Yep. I got a chance to listen to him quite a bit today.
Okay. I heard something in him, and I did not hear his whole show, but I heard something in him and what he was talking about, and I don't know if he was saying this exactly, but I certainly heard it from some other people this weekend, and all of which are Green Bay Packer fans. And I have a question. Are Packer fans spoiled?
Yes. Yes. No question.
That is very odd to me, because I do not think of Midwesterners, let alone Wisconsinites, as being spoiled type people. I've met spoiled Wisconsinites, and they don't act spoiled.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The Midwest mentality usually, even money doesn't change that.
It's blue collar, I'm going to work, I'm doing my job, I'm going to be a good family person, whatever.
In some ways, this is what you get for being good for so long. This is a positive in some ways when you're relevant for that long. I think that's one of the things that you hear smart coaches talk about. Hey, we're at the top. Everybody's coming for us. Good. That's what you want. But this is the first time I have thought about this.
Yep.
And it was mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, James, you're spot on. And I'll say this, another one from another spoiled fan base. St. Louis. Hmm. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've read it. So I see it with the Packers. I saw it with the Cardinals. Still see it with the Cardinals. And success breeds a lot of things. Complacency on the negative side. But it also breeds an idea of appreciating what you have, because it could be gone. I mean, look at New England.
Yeah.
They had it good for how long? And now, I mean, sure, they're number one in the division. I don't know how long that's going to last. But you get the point.
Oh, yeah.
And this is another one, you know, the group chat with my buddies, Survey Boys, it's everything that it's LaFluff, not LaFleur. They don't like the guy. He can't do anything right. Even when he does something right, he should have done it the other way. And I've asked them just several times, like, when are you going to apply for the job? Because you obviously know more than he does.
I like that.
You know, and those are two of my good buddies. I absolutely love them. Great family. So we're like brothers. We'll fight. We'll argue. At least I try to, you know, come back to the middle with it.
Sure.
And the thing that I always we won.
Yeah.
We won.
Yeah.
What more do you want? You know how hard it is to win in the NFL? I mean, this is the old cliche. I know. You know how hard it is to win in the NFL? It's really stinking hard. And what more do you want? The same people that are, Micah Parsons was a bust. He hasn't done. He single-handedly, arguably, won the game for you.
Yeah.
And he should have had four sacks, but that one was a drop hip, which was the right call.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to argue that. But the defense has saved the bacon. The offense got it done when it had to. You're talking two special teams plays away from being undefeated.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so you can complain about all the problems there are in offense, which there are. The issues at times with defense, there are. Those two factors that everyone complains about aren't what cost Green Bay the two games.
Yeah.
Which was a blocked field goal and a blocked extra point. So, but I understand that it takes more than just one play in most cases. To your question, yeah, they're spoiled. Well, you should be winning by 10, 20 points each game. This team might not be one. Now, here's the other thing. I'm going to play another question for you. Now, we saw Arizona. They lost by 4 points. They've lost five games in a row by 13 points now. Mm. Okay? Here's my other question. Tampa Bay, 5-1. Mm. How many close games have they had? a bunch, and no one's going crazy on them. But we also don't hear the Tampa Bay media and fan base.
No, but I know what you're saying. I think
why is it okay for Tampa Bay to win close games and win ugly, but not the Packers?
Yeah.
And that's where I get upset with my Packer fan base friends and just in general the fan base, because I'm not going to lie, I'm a Packer fan. Love them. Not going to cheer for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
What more do you want? I mean, what more do you want? Do you want to be hanging half a hundred by halftime? Barry Switzer days back when at Oklahoma? Is that what you want? Because that's going to come back around really fast in the world of professionalism.
I certainly understand. You know, we just were not even 10 minutes ago talking to Coach about, hey, your team's 8-2. What's wrong with it? You know, I get the idea of looking at a team and trying to make sure that you catch these things before you go 2-8.
Totally agree.
But there's a difference of that and whining. Like,
I know.
Like, the whining is really different to me. I don't. Maybe it's been there this whole time and I never noticed it.
Jordan Love. He's not the guy. Get Malik Willis up there.
I got to be honest. A lot of Packer fans are sounding like Bear fans to me.
I know.
That's really weird. That's really, really, really,
I mean, they're not claiming. They're not clamoring just back to 1985 because, I mean, the Green Bay was horrible in 85.
Sure.
But.
Got quite a few more titles to hang on.
Right. But the thing is that I don't get it is what more do you want? The same ones bench Jordan Love because of this, X, Y, Z. Well, they only beat Cincinnati by 6 points. And you see what Cincinnati just did to Pittsburgh? I mean, and Cincinnati with the best duo wide receivers and an old man quarterback, I still don't understand all the hate for him. But what Green Bay got the job done. They beat Detroit. They beat Washington. They're dealing with injuries. But now everybody's back on Detroit's train. You beat them. Yeah, but they did. Yeah, but what? They beat them, and they dominated them in the process.
So when I look at a certain fan bases, and I see this one in particular in this state, the thing that I'm bringing this up partially for is hopefully that part of the fan base like wakes up a little
bit and
understands what you have in this team and in the what you've been for the last 30, 40 years and how relevant they are.
35.
I got a couple of friends who live in the Florida area, in particular in Miami, and are diehard Miami Dolphin fans.
They should be.
And the nightmare that they have been in their whole lives. One of them's 33, the other one's almost 40.
Since 1972,
just turned 40. And they have never really known relevance as a franchise. When they were born, the Miami Dolphins were the most winning franchise in all of sports. Period. Like that's the difference of 30 years, and that's how quickly it can happen. And that's Miami. Green Bay, Wisconsin is the smallest market in all of sports. You are relevant, and you have been for 30-plus years, and you're relevant because of smart moves, whether it is trading for a young quarterback out of the South and getting him on a chip deal.
Getting a steal out of a guy out of California.
Late in the draft, or whatever the case might be, and just story after story after story. God told the greatest defensive lineman of all time, possibly, to go play in Green Bay.
Oh, it was Holmgren, buddy. Yes, God.
Whatever you want to say. Your franchise has been relevant our whole lives. Not every season has been great, but they've been relevant, which means
why aren't you happy about it?
Enjoy it. Again, it's one thing to say, well, you know, I'd like this to improve. It's another to be like, whine.
I know. Dude, you're hearing the same thing.
Man, that is just bonkers.
My blood pressure's raising thinking about it because I got to listen to Bill today, and I'm like, oh, I'm not making these points, but a lot of the points he made are legit points you got to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, like Green Bay's malign defense. Oh, they gave up all these points in the fourth quarter.
That's
they gave up, what, three? Or three, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good place to go. I think that, you know, especially when you're winning.
Penalties are still a problem, though. I will
take care of those things. Story of the show time, and we go back to college football here. Curry College running back Monty Quinn just destroyed his Division III school, another Division III school. By the end of Curry's 71-27 win over Nicholas, Quinn had taken down the NCAA record for all divisions by rushing for 522 yards on 20 carries with seven touchdowns. 20 carries, 552
yards.
He
broke, that would have been Samaje Perine.
Yes.
Because he beat Monte Ball by a yard. And I remember when that happened, that Pirine said it against Kansas, who was bad then, and they're like, oh, you only did it about Kansas. I'm like, yeah, Ball just did it against Indiana. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. He broke the standing record, 465 yards by your guy there from Oklahoma, Samaje Perine. His quote about this, I'm just humble and grateful. Breaking the record is something I never imagined coming into today. The O-line was dominant. He did all the right things.
Awesome.
I like this kid.
Me too.
And again, another great running back in college football, man.
Yeah, love it, man.
There's a lot of good ones out there. It's been a lot of fun. We are looking forward to some great sports action for you. We'll talk more about this on Wednesday, but this Thursday we've got Nacusa at Adams Friendship Boys Soccer for you, and then, of course, River Kings Hockey this weekend.
Yep, we got soccer tomorrow, too.
Yes, yes. We'll talk about it, and we'll be covering it for you right here.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nacusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Monday afternoon. Let's get things kicked off with Travis Tritt, shall we?
I got rice cooking in the microwave. Got a 3-day beard I don't plan to shave. And it's a goofy thing, but I just gotta say, hey, I'm a doing all right. Yeah, I think I'll make me some homemade soup. I'm feeling pretty good, and that's the truth.